Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, Every Patient's Advocate. I'm here with Dr. Bruce Simmons, internist and director of employee and student health at Upstate. We're discussing flus, seasonal flu, swine flu, H1N flu, whatever name you want to give it. And Dr. Simmons, as we broke for the news, we were talking about the symptoms of flu and at what point you might go to the hospital. But, you know, I have a question about contagion. You said that if somebody suddenly comes on with symptoms, that's a pretty good indicator that it's the flu. But if I start feeling symptoms at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, when was I really contagious?
Well, it's very likely that you were contagious 24 hours before, and perhaps even longer, depending on what your health condition is.
So, if I'm at work, I've already exposed all the people
absolutely.
Around me at work.
And that's one of the reasons why in New York State we've moved towards having a regulation for flu vaccine for healthcare workers.
Yes, because they don't know they have it.
Absolutely. And, so you can go about your daily activities 24 hours before you become very ill.
And feel fine.
True.
Yeah.
And children can even be contagious even long before, even up to several days before, 4 or 5 days before.
And while we're covering contagion, let's talk about after. I know the CDC has said you shouldn't go back to work or school until 24 hours after your fever has broken. I would assume that means you're no longer contagious after that, but you clarify that for us if you want.
Well, I think that your level of contagiousness has dropped significantly, but certainly you have not eradicated all the virus in your body. Early on with the H1N1, we were saying that you had to be better for a period of 7 days before you went back to work. Now we're saying, 24 hours after the fever has broken. That means that if your fever is gone today, you don't go back to work tomorrow.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You wait that full 24 hours.
Yes.
And then you go back the following day.
Mm-hmm.
And, we certainly use that for healthcare workers, but that's also true for anyone else, for schools, for businesses, anyone who has the flu.
I think about people working in restaurants. And I just wonder if we shouldn't have some of the same rules for people working in restaurants that we have for people working in healthcare, because they're working with people's food. And even if they're in the kitchen, they send the food out and somebody eats it in the dining room.
Well, that's true. But I think those guidelines go across the board.
They do.
And, a lot of it has to do with, whether someone's coughing and then, of course, proper hand washing.
Yes. And let's make that point, too, that the preventive steps here are good hygiene. No matter whether you think you've got flu symptoms or not, good hygiene is important.
Well, that's true for both to prevent yourself from getting the flu as well as protecting others if indeed you are sick from the flu or some other illness during the winter months.
Yes, both aspects are important. So that takes us into the prevention part of the conversation, and we've touched a little bit on vaccines. But again, we're talking about two different kinds of flus. And if it's okay with you, I'd kind of like to go through, say, profiles of patients to let them know what kinds of vaccines they should be looking at. Because right now, because of availability questions, there are questions about who has access. There are priority lists going out, but I still think it's confusing to people. So let's do it by who they might be, all right? Let's talk about children, say, under the age of 3, what kinds of things do their parents need to be looking at for vaccines for them?
Well, I think certainly if in children over the age of 6 months, flu vaccine is recommended to prevent illness in those younger people.
Seasonal or swine?
Well, for both.
Okay.
For both. And when H1N1 vaccine becomes widely available, certainly those young people should be included.
Okay. And for those reasons we talked about earlier, not just to protect themselves, but the other people they're with who might be in compromised states. All right. Now, older children, older than the age of 3.
Well, again, those are those children that are in the schools that congregate together certainly are at a higher risk of illness, and they also are recommended to get flu vaccine.
Okay, both vaccines?
Yes, and even more so with H1N1.
Really?
Yes.
And speak to me about that, because one thing I've read is that even people with really tough immune systems seem to be more susceptible to the H1N1. Why would that be?
Well, I'm not sure that they are necessarily more susceptible, but it certainly has hit us hard, and we've seen a lot of it. It's been very visible on the news, and you know, when young people begin to die from any illness, even if it's one death, it catches our attention.
Yes,
much more so than an older person who may be ill from some other reason, and that seems to be a bit more acceptable than perhaps a very young person dying from an illness, which we consider to be very survivable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we do. We look at people who are healthy and we say, oh my gosh, if it could happen to them, I wonder if it could happen to me.
Yes.
What about young adults? And actually, we have two groups of young adults. We've got a group that is pregnant, maybe, and a group that isn't pregnant. Let's talk about both of those.
Well, yes. Certainly for pregnant females, you know, both vaccines are recommended.
They are.
And because we've seen more deaths in pregnant females, and they seem to have the potential to develop more serious illness.
And why would that be? I mean, I know we're digressing here, but it seems like pregnancy is a very healthy time of your life, although it's a very draining time of your life. But why would pregnant women be so much at risk?
You know, I don't really know that answer. I have not seen that we've come to any real conclusion.
I was hoping you'd know what the scientists don't.
Unfortunately, that's not an answer that I have ready.
No, that's no, quite all right, because I don't think most people
know.
No,
I really don't think there is an answer at this point.
Yeah. All right, but other young adults who are not pregnant, should they be getting swine or seasonal flu vaccines?
Well, you know, seasonal flu, I think if it's available, and unfortunately at this time it's not widely available, I would recommend it for young people. But certainly the H1N1, because of some of the illness that we've seen in younger people, and you know, using the example of the Cornell student that recently passed away in his in his early 20s from novel H1N1 influenza. So certainly those under the age of 24 are in a recommended group to receive H1N1, not necessarily for seasonal flu vaccine.
All right. Now we get a little bit older, and say into your 40s and 50s, what should you be concerned with?
Well, that's kind of a gray area, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I think most of us that are in our 40s and 50s, if we have good health, certainly can contract the flu and become ill and recover in a reasonable amount of time. But for those people that have chronic medical illnesses, certainly the outcome might not be as favorable, and they should really make an effort to get vaccinated. And those are people that have chronic diseases like heart disease and lung disease, kidney disease, liver, neuromuscular disease.
Diabetes?
Diabetes, certainly. Mm-hmm. Diabetes has diminishes your immune response. Those with asthma, who may develop more serious pulmonary disease.
Okay. And now let's talk about, say, the over 65 or 70 group, because I know there's a distinction here, and it's very interesting.
Well, there is. And I think, you know, for seasonal flu vaccine, we've recommended it for, you know, people over the age of 50 for a number of years. And for H1N1 vaccine, we're not recommending it. And I don't want to say we're not actually discouraging it, but it's not in the recommended group, because the feeling is that there may be some residual immunity from previous exposures to similar viruses.
An H1N1 type virus?
An H1N1 type virus.
Very interesting.
But I think certainly as the supply of H1N1 vaccine builds, I think that everyone is going to be included in the group to get vaccine.
You know, this has been this H1N1. I've read on the WHO website, World Health Organization and so forth, they actually think this one's going to be around for a couple of years. This isn't going to be seasonal. It's going to go away and then changes next year. They say it'll be around for a couple of years, and up to a third of us will actually get the swine flu, H1N1 swine flu. And I find that fascinating. If you get this vaccine, then perhaps you'll be among the two-thirds that don't, right? There's some rumors out there about the vaccines, and let's just put them to rest, all right? We hear them. We don't necessarily see them in the news. They're flying around in emails all over the place, and they all get sent to me for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. But one is that the vaccine can possibly cause Guillain-Barré syndrome. Talk to us about that one.
Well, I don't think there's a greater likelihood of that than getting the seasonal flu vaccine.
Okay.
The vaccines are produced exactly the same way. They're manufactured the same, and So it's unlikely that we're going to see a completely different side effect profile to the H1N1 vaccine.
All right. Another rumor is that making us get the vaccine is really a government conspiracy. It has nothing to do with our health and everything to do with the government. Have you heard that one?
Well, the fact is that I'm not sure that the government is necessarily making us do that. I mean, for healthcare workers, certainly in New York State, the New York State Health Department has made it a regulation that all healthcare workers get influenza vaccine, both the H1N1 and the seasonal flu vaccine. But I think that there is there's choice that anyone can make as an individual whether they want the vaccine or not if you're not in that particular group.
You know, what I actually have to laugh with over that one is that, so this is a government conspiracy for us to be healthy? I mean, why would they ask us to get the vaccines? It doesn't make any sense that they would want us to be ill or sick.
Well, that's true. And I mean, there's a lot of vaccines that we have to get over the course of our life to do certain things, to go to, you know, to go to school.
Right.
And so we've been getting vaccines for a long period of time, and it's hard to understand why getting a flu vaccine has made such a large controversy.
It absolutely is. Well, Dr. Bruce Simmons, you have been a wealth of information for us this morning. I think we have clarified a number of issues as far as understanding both these flus and the vaccines involved. As time goes on and there are more developments in this arena, will you come back?
Certainly.
That would be great. And listeners, we do need to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. Please do stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.